Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yo, 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 welcome to Starbucks, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rosati. Jim, last Monday of the off season. This is it. This is our last Starbucks before opening day, baby.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. It was a long off season. We have made our way through it, it seems. And the next time we're on here, we'll be talking about like real baseball games. We'll be wrapping up a series.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Like it's when the season ends, it's a nice little relief. You know, we talk about this is a grind, especially doing daily post game shows and just, you know, just watching the Pittsburgh Pirates every day is a grind in itself. So the off season, you know, like the last game, it's kind of a relief. You get some playoffs, right? Kind of sit back, enjoy baseball. Then you have the off season, you get to speculate, talk, whatever. But like that gets old too sometimes. So just like you said, it's nice, like finally baseball season's back, meaningful events is going to take place that we get to talk about. And just again, it's a brand new Pirates season. What's in store? I don't know.
I have a good idea what's in store.
Sure.
from a pitching standpoint, but no, I mean, it's exciting. It's, opening day is what 3 days away right now.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long off season. It's been a weird off season too. Like we've had Pirates Twitter has just been in like absolute shambles. You've got people creating fake accounts all over the place.
That's right.
You've got people breaking news who like, why are these accounts trying to break news? You've got people saying, you know, I've got sources saying Edward Cabrera's done. It's been a weird off season. I don't want to go through another off season like this again. Let's.
I don't know. It's kind of entertaining.
It drove me crazy. I want a normal off season going forward where I don't have to get woken up, you know, with news that doesn't exist by someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. Let's just have regular baseball news and stuff going forward.
All right. Well, there you have it, everyone. Shut up.
Basically. That's what Jim just said.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can understand that. I mean, certainly, but to your point, like you said, opening day is in Miami on Thursday. It's a 4:10 game, I believe, something like that. And yes, so this is the very last actually show in general. Oh no, take it back. Our NS9 Live will be on Wednesday for our predictions and such. But so I guess, yeah, this is our last Starbucks in itself before. And what we're going to do today is just kind of like summarize the spring training, like what we saw from it, takeaways, and like maybe predict this roster because, you know, we were told that in 24 hours, and of course this is on Saturday, in 24 hours, we'll probably hear about Jared Jones. That didn't happen. As I insinuated, I guess Derek Shelton's on his NS9 time, 24 hours-ish. So he said that today,
those will be announced. to just kind of defend Derek Shelton here. He didn't say that a Jared Jones announcement would be made within 24 hours. He said a Jared Jones decision would likely be made within 24 hours. So the Pirates have probably decided what to do. They're just not going to tell us until the very last possible moment, like they do all the time.
That's absolutely fair. Okay, then there you go.
It'll be like, what time's game? 4:10 on Thursday, 4:10 p.m. It'll be like 3:58. They'll finally announce the roster. That's something that they'll do.
They'll get your lot up to 3:59.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a party. But that was the thing. Like, we were going to say, okay, this is great news, Jim. You and I talked on Starbucks. We're going to discuss Jared Jones, depending on where he went. We don't know yet, so it's still speculation. But that's what we'll do. We'll kind of speculate like what this final roster will look like. We'll find out how terribly wrong we are, because you and I are both going to absolutely say Jared Jones. But I guess let's kind of get into it. I mean, so like I said, let's maybe start off just kind of summarizing spring, because today is the actual final last game of spring training. So like, I don't know, again, like, what are your takeaways? Summary? I don't know.
Yeah, gosh, that's a pretty open-ended question there. What are my takeaways from spring training? I think my biggest takeaway, at least from a position player standpoint, is, again, going back to the caveat that spring statistics do not matter, right? But what you want to see is you want to see people who have their timing down. You want to see good behaviors out of them. You want to see them hitting the ball hard. And we are seeing that from the people who you really want to see that from, right? Henry Davis had a great spring, not only at the plate, but behind the plate too. Like, he looked like he could be a major league catcher. There was really nothing that happened at all this spring where you go and you say to yourself, Henry Davis isn't a catcher. I think he showed that he's capable of playing the position. Now it's like, can you handle it for like an entire season, right? Like, can you go through the grind of a major league season as the catcher? So that's the next answer. That's the next question he's got to answer, because that's difficult to do. And it's also difficult to do, you know, if you want to hit. Like, the reason why catchers don't hit that well, because catching is such a grueling thing to do that you're just beat. Like, you don't have a lot of energy to go up there at the plate and be a really good hitter. So that's going to be kind of something to watch for this season. But as far as the rest of the guys go, I thought Andrew McCutchen, you know, coming off of the Achilles injury, you wanted to just sort of see him healthy. And not only has he been healthy, he had a great spring. It's only 8 games, but you know, you're Kutch. You don't need a whole lot of time to ramp up. But I think the interesting thing with Kutch here is that he was playing some outfield towards the end of spring too. And I was talking about this with Tyler over the weekend, but you know, we kind of went into this season just expecting Andrew McCutchen's not giving us anything except, you know, DH, right? But if Andrew McCutchen can give you one start a week in the outfield, that opens up a lot of opportunities for this team to be able to move guys around, get them more playing time, maybe give, you know, the people you need to give off days, occasional off days where they can slot into that DH spot, right? Like, I'm talking O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, Henry Davis, those three people in particular. When they're off, you know, if you can give them a day off at DH while Andrew McCutchen is maybe out in right field, that's valuable, right? Because then you're not taking that bat out of the lineup. So if Andrew McCutchen can play defense once a week, that's big. And the fact that Absolutely. He went out spring and played basically 2 full games in the outfield is a really, really good sign. O'Neill Cruz, we saw his spring, you know, look great. Like, you wanted to see him kind of pick up where he left off after that injury, and he looks like he has. Let's see who else. Jack Swinski was hitting the ball hard, especially towards the end there. Brian Reynolds, you're not really paying too much attention to spring training stats, but he was just kind of there getting his reps in, so you kind of feel comfortable with that. Yeah, I think
I just want to put this out there, so you're not worried about Reynolds, because like you say, you know, everyone that you want to see did well. He's like the one, at least on the offensive side, that really didn't produce.
Yeah. So when I say statistics don't matter, like I do really mean that in one way or the other, right? So Brian Reynolds didn't have a great spring, right? I mean, but he was able to get 15 games in, 46 plate appearances. Not worried about Brian Reynolds in the least bit. Yeah, so from an offensive standpoint, like lots of encouragement. I think I would have liked to have seen more Michael A. Taylor. I think he only got into three games, yeah, actually. But he's a veteran too, so hopefully he doesn't really need a whole lot to ramp up. And hopefully he was, you know, facing live pitching and stuff during that whole time period. But lots of encouragement on the offensive side of the ball.
I fully agree. That's one of my biggest takeaways as well. I said before, and it kept going, so I feel more comfortable now with it. But like a lot of the questions that we came into this offseason with, right, or this spring training, I'm not going to say answered, but left you feeling more comfortable about them, right? The biggest one, like you said, Henry Davis. That's the huge one. Not even the fact that, like you said, he's hitting the ball very, very well. I mean, this guy looks like every bit advertised, you know, as the hitter is drafted, but I don't see any issues behind the plate. You know, I really don't. Now you're going to see, you know, you're going to get a bigger test in the regular season. Find out, you know, if that's truly the case. But there was never, like, I never had a moment, not that we could see all the games, obviously, but I never had a moment where it was like, ooh, yeah, Henry Davis is back there. That makes sense. Never. And he was gutting some guys out too. So, you know, we saw the arm strength. That definitely checked up some boxes there. You know, we knew that was there though, obviously, but you get to see it on display as well. He looks good. He looks good. O'Neill Cruz looks good. Healthy. Like you mentioned, that was the biggest thing for him, healthy. But just, you know, coming on and carrying over more or less what you saw last spring, you know, in like the 9 games of regular season, like the way his approach is the plate and stuff. I mean, we see the power. But, you know, more discipline and such. Cabrian Hayes, just, again, I get it, it's March. But, man, Cabrian Hayes looks good.
Yeah, I didn't even mention him.
Good. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk and bring up his actual numbers. But batting .388, .412, slugging .663. Like, six strikeouts, 2 walks. But 6 strikeouts and 49 at-bats. I mean, he's just making contact hard contact. He looks good, and we know he's good defensively. So you know, those are 3 questions that you had. You know, who's the real Cabrian Hayes? Is O'Neill going to be healthy? And can Henry Davis catch? And so far, like I said, nothing's answered, but so far you're leading down a very positive answer potentially on those. So makes you feel pretty good about the offense. But yeah, as far as the pitching goes, Jim, I think every question that we had is still a question. That's the disappointing part. No one really stepped up. You know, Mitch Keller is Mitch Keller. Now, Martin Perez looked good. You know, we'll talk about him maybe a little bit. Like, Martin Perez looked pretty decent. Like, I get it. It's spring. He's going to have limitations as well as a pitcher. But, like, outside of that, just huge question marks. Huge question marks. Jared Jones looks really good. That's, like, the one positive I will say about the pitching side. And there's really probably just one on the pitching side to take away in that sense. Jared Jones looks good.
Yeah. I'll say this, like with the top three, right? Keller, Gonzalez, Perez. They're kind of in that mold where they've been here before. They've gone through spring training. The mm-hmm. only thing that's important to them is making sure that their arm is built up for opening day. The rest of the stuff doesn't matter to me whatsoever. So it was encouraging, definitely, to see Martin Perez put up some good numbers this spring. I can say that, you know, especially his last outing, like that game against the Yankees yesterday, he was facing nobody. Like the best player in that Yankees lineup was Josh Van Meter, right? And that's not even, I don't even think that's being like facetious. Like, I'm pretty sure that was the case. So you had that, but yeah, he just getting through it healthy. Marco Gonzalez getting through the spring, showing that he's healthy. Those are the important things for those top three guys. Keller didn't really have the sharpest spring either. But again, like for those people, it's not about like, it's not about, hey, what was your spring ERA, right? It's basically just saying, hey, are you sharp? Are you ready to pitch for the regular season? And so I'm completely fine that those three just got through the spring. I would have liked to have seen somebody else really just grab a hold of one of those starting spots, right? Like we saw Jerry Jones do it. Jerry Jones went out there and said, you know what? I'm staking my claim to one of these spots. If you're going to let me be in this competition, I'm going to win it. And he did. Now it's just a matter of time. Are the Pirates going to do what they've always done and send him down and say, hey, there's something that he needs to work on? Or is he going to get that spot? We talked about on, when was that, Saturday, Ryan and I doing the post game. Shout out Ryan also being back, helping out with post games this year. That's awesome. But we talked about how the Pirates haven't had a top 100 prospect start the year in the majors with zero service time. I was thinking it was Jose Guillen was the last one, but it was Chris Benson. Chris Benson in 1999 was the last time. It hasn't happened this century, right? So if this happens, Pirates are doing something for the first time, and a lot of people who are listening or watching to this, first time in their lives that this event has happened. It hasn't happened since the Cam Bonifay administration, right? So it's been a bit. So that's kind of where we're at. Like it's a pretty monumental player development event, I think, if it happens. So we'll see if the Pirates are able to do it or not. Well, I know they're able to, but are they going to do it? But yeah, I think out of those other guys, though, Quinn Priester, Luis Ortiz, we heard a lot of really good things about Roansy Contreras heading into spring training. And it just I think Quinn Priester had a decent spring. I think Luis Ortiz had a decent spring. But like you really wanted to see someone say, yeah, you know what? I'm taking this last spot. And that didn't happen.
No, you saw flashes, but that's it. And that's not, you know, making me feel any happier about this rotation of those guys, because it's flashes in spring training, you know, like again, like not a big deal. I guess the promising thing is we saw velocity back for some of the guys, for just some of them, like Luis Ortiz still like isn't really doing what he should be doing. So yeah, you know, you're kind of disappointed against like the rotation and such. So I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to be a struggle. They're going to have to find a way to get innings, quality innings, mm-hmm. as well, if they're truly wanting to compete. And I right now, at this point in time, you know, again, we talk about answers and solving them and whatnot, and I still feel very uneasy about the pitching side now. And that's the rotation itself. We can talk about the bullpen also, because there's some injuries and health reasons that's going to be kind of depleted to start the season. Like Colin Holderman lost 15 pounds, Jim, we found out, with that virus he had. He's gained 5 back. He feels as strong as he was. I don't know. I speculate he'll probably start on the IL. Carmen Majinski was going through some arm issues. I feel he'll probably start on the IL, right? So, like, this bullpen that you're looking, saying, hey, this is a big strength. Dowry Moretta already got Tommy John. It's like, well, we're going to start off pretty weak now. And again, that's a very short-term problem for today, right? But it's not really what you wanted to see coming out of spring.
Yeah, I mean that bullpen, you wanted it to just kind of get to into the season healthy, and it didn't happen, right? So you're going to start off this season with some, there's going to be some non-roster invitees who make this team out of spring. And I think going into it, you would have said to yourself, like, maybe one of them had a shot at like grabbing one of those last spots, but there's going to be at least one, maybe two that make this team now. So yeah, the Holderman news kind of crazy. Yeah, he had to go to the hospital because of this virus. Lost 15 pounds, hasn't pitched in a while. So he's going to start on the IL. Carmen Majinski did throw yesterday, so they're going to kind of just see how he reacts to that. But he was experiencing shoulder rotator cuff soreness, or Majinski was forearm tightness. Yeah, so he was experiencing some issues.
Yes.
You hope that he reacts well to that so that he can maybe not start the season on the team, but he can join pretty relatively quickly. So yeah, a lot of question marks, especially on like the front end of that bullpen now. you know, the back end, Chapman, Bednar, still not too worried about it. Chapman looked a little weird yesterday.
Can I bring that up?
Yeah, I mean, we can bring it up. Like, he was throwing like 92, 93 mile an hour.
Yesterday's not the day to do that to us, Rolls.
After
all the issues that we've seen and witnessed, and then he comes out and he's like, I can't hit 95.
But then he did, like, and towards the end of the place. Yeah, towards the end of his inning, he did. Like, he went out there and he threw some 98, 99 mile an hour pitches. But, like, right. He started that inning and I was like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, he dropped, he was 5 or 6 miles an hour below his average.
Walked the first two batters.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't find the strike zone. He was throwing 93 miles an hour. If you weren't pooping your pants as a Pirates fan right then and there, after they discussed about Colin Holderman and Majinski and everything, right? Yeah, that wasn't fun, Aroldis. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
But yeah, like you said, though, he did go back and reach 97, 98, 99. Mm-hmm. They interviewed him. He said he feels just healthy. So I don't know. I didn't want to see that. But
yeah,
I speculate everything is okay.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. Yeah. Outside of that, I can't think of too much more to take away from spring.
Yeah, I think those are the main takeaways there. So now we can kind of get into like what do we think this roster is going to look like, which we should start hearing those decisions today, tomorrow. But before we do that, today's show, Starbucks, brought to you by Chris Gates Fitness. Show sponsor. He's going to be sponsoring the show all season long. Chris is a huge Pittsburgh sports fan. He's a friend of the show. He works with me. I said, I absolutely love working with Chris. He keeps me accountable and you know, making sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to. But he works with people all over Pittsburgh, all over the world, building muscle, burning fat, improving their health and fitness. His goal with every person that he works with is to make progress while learning how to sustainably manage your diet and exercise routine for life. And just got an email this morning. He literally just launched a really cool resource that I'll need to look into here, but that can help start making progress immediately. And it's free. He launched a free calorie calculator. So that'll tell you exactly how many calories, protein, carbs, fats, based off of your body composition and any fitness goal that you have, it'll calculate it for you. So I'm interested in just checking that out today. All you have to do is enter a few basic pieces of information about yourself and the calculator does the rest, making it easy to simplify one of the most complicated aspects of your fitness journey, which is your diet. And again, it's completely free if you sign up for his mailing list. So make sure you head over to chrisgatesfitness.com/newsletter. Again, chrisgatesfitness.com/newsletter to sign up and get your free copy. So yeah, I woke up this morning, saw that email in my inbox, pulled it up. I didn't really get a chance to go through it yet, but yeah, looking forward to that one. All kinds of free value Chris is offering us.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I really just want to point out like his Twitter account in itself, just how much free information by videos and even podcasts that he just puts out there. Cool stuff.
Yeah, he's on all your social platforms. So he's on there. So, yeah, give him a follow.
Yep. There you go. Well, Jim, is it time to speculate?
Let's do it. It's what we've what we've been doing. It's what we're good at.
I feel like let's do the easy thing. Let's look at the everyday players. Let's look at the lineup. I don't think there's much discussion, especially now that, you know, it's determined that Peguero is in AAA. So again, I think it really comes down to like the fourth outfielder, but we know behind the plate, right? Yasmani Grandal isn't making it. Alex Sanchez obviously just got optioned as well. So I think it's pretty clear that Henry Davis and Jason DeLay are making the club, right?
Yeah. Alex Sanchez doesn't have options, by the way. So,
oh, my bad. Well, yeah, his locker was.
He will likely be DFA'd. But no, I mean, those are your two catchers. Yeah, the news, we didn't really talk about that because that came on after our NS9 Live aired. But yeah, Leover Peguero optioned to AAA. So that means Triolo, everyday second baseman, Alika Williams has made the team as your utility infielder. But
not too excited.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. I like. And I guess just to spend like 2 minutes on this subject.
Sure.
I can understand the reasoning why you send Peguero down. Like when you say, you know what, I want Peguero to get every day at bats. Okay, fine. At the same time, we're talking about a guy who has over 1,000 plate appearances now, over double A and above. Like he's gotten at bats, right? And you're talking about a baseball team that wants to win games now. So the way that you do that is by having the best 26 guys on the roster, like in some capacity. And, you know, you're not going to convince me that Alika Williams is a better baseball player than Leover Peguero. Alika Williams has a good glove. He can play shortstop. So like, if you want to just say, you know what, we just need somebody who can field the position pretty well. Fine. I don't agree with it. That seems to be the decision that they're making. I also think the playing time is there, like people saying that, you know, well, Peguero would have rotted on the bench, right? No, he wouldn't have. Like, there's plenty of playing time opportunity there that you could give him. And again, we kind of go back to, especially if Kutch is playing a day in the outfield, that opens up that DH spot for somebody. Like you're going to give Triolo an off day every week. There's a start. You're going to give Ono Cruz an off day every week. There's a start. You're going to maybe want to give some, like Triolo's not playing 7 days. Like these guys aren't playing 7 days a week, especially right. Cruz and Triolo. So right. Like there's going to be at bats there. Now, if Alika Williams gets no more than one start a week, then you know what? I can absolutely live with this. But if we start seeing Alika Williams get 2 to 3 starts a week, that's a problem. He's just not a good baseball player. He literally cannot hit. No, cannot hit. Like he no. can't do it. He's not a major league hitter. Again, the glove is good, but cannot hit. So just interesting. I'm not going to go on and on and on about this because I don't know how they're planning on using him. Again, if he gets one start a week, fine. But if he starts getting 10 plate appearances a week, I'm gonna have a problem with that. I'm gonna have an issue with that.
Yep, that's exactly the issue. You know, I put it all on Twitter, like, are we gonna see him having 2 or 3 starts a week? Because I personally feel that's what's going to happen for all the reasons you mentioned. You know, the people that are combating this and saying like it's fine because he has a really good glove, which he does. Like he has a role. His role is he is a very, very good defender. So you want him like late in the games, maybe replacing Ono Cruz at shorts, you know, if you need to or something like that. Like I understand that aspect. But you just talked about Ono Cruz. He's coming off an injury. Are they going to manage it? Like is he going to get a day off and a day DHing a week because Kutch is in the outfield to help manage it? Like, you don't want him moving as much in the field. So like, here's your actual day off. And you know what? Here's a managed day. You're just going to DH. So is there two starts in that? Then Jared Triolo gets his day off, right? Then Cabrian Hayes gets his day off here and there. You know, like there's, like you said, like there is ample opportunity for that other guy, right? Not just the one backup infielder, but the other guy to get some time. I'm sorry, not the backup. There's ample opportunity for the backup infielder to get some time. And that's what we're alluding to. Like obviously, like Hayes takes a day off, Triolo slides to third, Alika goes to second, right? We mentioned Ono Cruz might have 2 days not on shortstop, there's a start. Trill gets his day off, there's a start. Like you said, like you could find two or three starts a week. Do you want that going to Leika Williams or Peguero? And that's, again, like this is where I have a hard time with this. So yes, you know, if it is just once and we're wrong in the availability, then fine. I can live with that. I would much rather have Peguero probably in AAA right now playing every day than just once a week. I understand that. But it better not be once a week. I mean, it better be once a week, not more. So there's that. So yeah. So as far as the infield goes, right, Triolo, Cruz, Hayes, Alika, Rowdy Tellez, they're there. Outfield, obviously Jack, Reynolds, Taylor, right? Connor Joe, we feel is going to make it.
Yep.
How you feeling about this fourth outfielder, fifth outfielder?
Yeah, so I think I think if before all these bullpen injuries, honestly, I would have probably gone Billy McKinney with this last spot. Like I think he did. I think he won the job over Edward Olivares. The issue that you're going to run into now is you're probably adding three non-roster guys to this pitching staff. If we're including Jared Jones in there, because you got to make a spot for Jared Jones too. So if you're making a spot for Jones, let's say you're making a spot for Honeywell, and then you're making a spot for like one other guy, right? Let's say Majinski isn't ready, then you've got to make a spot for one other guy. And whether that's Hunter Stratton or Ryder Ryan, like I don't know who that'll be, but you got to make another spot. So that's three 40-man spots you need to clear for your pitching staff. Like I said, I think Billy McKinney would have made it if it weren't for that. But now, if you choose Billy McKinney, you've got to clear four spots, right?
Right.
So I think where we stand currently, Edward Olivares breaks camp with this team as the fourth outfielder. And he's basically playing in a somewhat platoon style with Sawinski. But I think that's the route they're going to go. Billy McKinney does not have an opt out in his minor league deal, like a lot of these other guys the Pirates have has. So he doesn't. There's no risk here of like losing Billy McKinney, which again, like how much of a risk is that? But like, there's no risk of losing Billy McKinney if you don't put him on the opening day roster. So he'll just go to Indy. But I think that's the winner of your spot, and I think it's not really because of merit. I think it's just because of like roster construction and. You can't make a fourth spot for somebody.
Yeah. Like, are you losing potentially another person? Are you losing four guys off this 40 man? Are you purging 10% of your 40 man roster because of Billy McKinney? You know? So again, like we talk about short-term problems. We discussed about the fourth or fifth outfielder spot. You know, it's one that we debated and we differed on, but ultimately it's not the biggest decision. It's not the, it's whatever, you know? So like, are you going to purge someone off this team because of a whatever decision for a few weeks? Right. So I think I'm with you too. Like I wanted Olivares. I think this kind of seals a deal with him also in doing so, because you don't have to make any changes to the roster and you just kind of deal with it and work with it at this point in time. So yeah,
that's one thing that's too on Billy McKinney. Ethan wanted to make sure I included this. Thank you, Ethan. He does not have an opt out until May. So thank you, Ethan. Also shout out Jamie, new member, YouTube membership. So appreciate you, Jamie, all the way from across the pond in Liverpool, right. England.
Yeah. And go check out his bucket round. Cody, talk to him if you haven't as well. Yeah. He's been on the show. He's a friend of the show. So yeah, MVP Jamie, appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jamie. But yeah, I think that Olivares has a spot because of that.
Yeah. So that pretty much rounds out all the hitters then, right? So we're talking Davis, DeLay, Tellez, Triolo, Cruz, Hayes, Alika, Kutch, Joe, Reynolds, Sawinski, Taylor, all of ours.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, like basically, I think roster resource, if you go to their page on Fangraphs, like that's it. Like I think they've nailed it.
Yep. Cool. Let's get to the pitching then. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start of the rotation. Obviously, we know Mitch, Perez, Gonzalez, right? There's your three. What do you see the final two roster spots going to for the rotation?
Where I see it is, I think Luis Ortiz and Jared Jones. I think Ortiz has at least done enough to not be sent to AAA. I think if you just look at like the overall body of work, he wasn't awful last year. Like, he was a serviceable number five starter for the most part. The upside in Luis Ortiz is also higher than say Quinn Priester's, I think. Quinn Priester just had such a rough go of it last season that I think he could really benefit from more AAA time and just kind of showing that he's got that consistency. He's got the command, especially of that fastball, like making sure it's at the top of the zone, because like that's his main issue, right? He's just hard contact off that fastball. So I think Luis Ortiz grabs a spot, and I don't, like I said, I'm surprised I'm saying this because I can't even fathom the Pirates doing something like this, but I think you got to go Jared. Like, I think you have to go Jared Jones. And I think it goes back to just what they said 2 weeks ago. Like, if you had just never said that, like if you had never said that Jared Jones was actually in a competition, like if you had just said, you know what, he's having a really good spring, we'll see how it goes. You know, he's still really young. He hasn't had a ton of AAA time, but you know, it's really cool what he's doing up here so far. Like, if they would have said something like that, then I think they could maybe get a, like, I don't know if you're getting away with it. I'm still going to bash you for it, but I think they could have gotten away with sending him down. But when you say, no, Jared Jones absolutely is in this competition and he goes out and he does what he does, how can you not give him a spot? Like, you can't tell somebody they're in a competition for a spot. He goes out there and puts up a 0.00 ERA. And then you go and say, yeah, you know what? You didn't do enough. Sorry, kid. So, like, I think they kind of pigeonholed themselves. Like, he's got to be in the rotation. And the issue that you're going to run into is, like, he needs 3 weeks, right? 21 days in the minors. That extra year of service time is a big deal for a team like the Pirates, as much as I'm going to like service manipulation, I am totally against, but getting a whole extra year out of somebody for a team like the Pirates is a big deal, right? I think they still can go about doing that somehow with Jared Jones.
Yes, of course.
And use the excuse of, hey, we're monitoring his usage. We're going to, we're taking a little bit of a break from starting every fifth day so that, you know, he's not reaching an all brand new high. The extra draft pick is desirable, right? Like Jamie brings up. I don't know if Jared Jones is like the caliber of guy to really secure that. You never know. Like, it could happen. But I think the biggest thing is that they want that extra year. And I think they're going to get it somehow, like they did with, you know, Contreras. Like, they kind of did the same thing with him. But I don't think you can't break camp without Jared Jones on this roster.
So you can.
You but can.
You and I, you can't. And you're right. Everything you said, absolutely right. I'm not going to go further detail. But all I want to talk about is the fact that, like, you have to. The 21 games, 3 to 4 starts of Jared Jones is way more important in April than it is for August for this team, for all the reasons we've talked about. Like, we know the reinforcements are coming, right? Paul Skeens is probably coming. So when is that going to happen? June and forward. And you know what? When they all get here, that could be a time to say, okay, well, you know what? Now's the time to put our toy in Jared Jones away for a few weeks. We have pitchers that are here. They're competent. They're good. Jared, you gave us what we needed early on to keep us in contention, right, to get us to where we are today, and now these guys can carry us through some more. So you know what? Let's put you away for 21 days because you need to watch and monitor your innings. And that's how you do everything. That's how you have them up here on opening day. That's how you get your way and, you know, save your service time and such if he's not doing what you think he needs to do to win, you know, rookie of the year, right? Because like you said, I'm with you. Like, I don't think he really is the caliber, but you know what? Spencer Strider wasn't even a top 100 prospect. Look what he did, right? I'm not saying he's going to be Spencer Strider, but like, you just never know. That's the thing. So give him the opportunity to show you in June and July. you probably have a better understanding where he's at, and then you can make your decision. If he's doing like what Spencer Strider was doing, you keep him there and you get that draft pick and all those awards, right? But like, if not, then absolutely send him back down. You win, he wins, Pirates win. There's your opportunity, way of doing all of this. So yes, and yep. Honestly, Jim, I really think like Ben Cherington has to. I think he sees that as well. That there's no way with the way this offseason has gone, the way this spring has gone, I don't think there's any way you can do that, especially the words that came out of his mouth.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. So, I
those are my five as well.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I agree.
Ortiz is there. I think I feel you on Quinn Priester. I saw some stuff out of Quinn, right? There's still something there. I just need to find it to be unlocked a little more.
Yep.
So, okay. Then let's go to the bullpen. Obviously, David Bednar's there. Aroldis Chapman's there. Baruchy's going to be there. King Baruchy, Jim. And then Ronzi's going to be there. We learned that, right? Again, like he is a bullpen guy now, so Ronzi will be there. How else do you feel this bullpen shaping out now?
So I'm going to go on the assumption that Majinski is going to be on the IL. I'm also going to go with the assumption that Holderman is, based off the information that we have. So Bednar, Chapman, Baruchy, right? Those three. Rowanzi Contreras. Yeah, number four. Josh Fleming, number five. Like, I think Fleming is 100% on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So at least three more spots. Bailey Falter's making this team, you guys. There's like no way he's not. Like, there's with the injuries that have happened. Like, I think if everybody had gotten through this healthy, you know, it would be different. But with everything that's happened, Bailey Falter's on this team. They're six. Brent Honeywell is the non-roster guy that is on this team. And, he's had a pretty good spring, 8 1/3 innings, 9 strikeouts, only one walk, 3.24 ERA. So again, he put together a decent spring. And his major league service time, like last year he wasn't good, right? But I think if you're he's like the last guy out of the bullpen, you could live with it for a little bit. So I think he has a spot. When it comes to the last spot, I could go with my guy who I predicted, if you remember. Yes. Beginning of spring training.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I said dark horse breakout candidate, Hunter Stratton. And he's put together a really good spring. Like, he's had 8 appearances, hasn't given up a run, 7 strikeouts in 7 innings, 1 walk, 2 walks. And he put together a decent, 12 innings last year, too, 2.25 ERA in the majors. So, I have a feeling that's who they're going to go with, just because like he's been in the organization so long. The other guy I would consider here is Ryder Ryan as well, who also put together a nice spring, lots of strikeouts, a little bit more wild than Stratton. Yeah, I would probably roll with Stratton. I think that's going to be my pick to make this team. Just kind of rewarding the guy Hunter Stratton's been in the Pirates organization since 2017.
Right.
So, and like, he's done everything he could to get it. So, I added Josh Fleming in there. I said Josh Fleming. I think Fleming's 100% in this bullpen. But yeah, I think I'm going Hunter Stratton. But I also could see Ryder Ryan. Ryder Ryan would be like my backup.
So I don't think we have any issues with everyone outside the last person. And again, like, this isn't an issue for me, but I should say difference. I agree with pretty much everything you said. I'll say this, Bailey Falter making it as a reliever opposed to like the number five starter would be much better. So again, Jared Jones, please. I can live with Bailey Falter in the road or the bullpen at this point in time because of these injuries, instead of an actual rotation piece. But let me ask you this. Why not Willie Peralta? Like, is he just a no for you? Because you mentioned like Ryan Ryder, or Hunter Stratton.
Yeah,
but why not Peralta?
Why not Peralta? I guess I don't have anything against Peralta. Well, other than I think he's not good.
Okay. Well, that's a good reason.
But also, like, I'm not saying the other guys are good either. Like, I'm right. Just saying that they're deserving of a spot. I would be fine with Peralta. I guess the stuff is what it. I'm not a huge fan of the stuff.
Okay, but that's fair. But
I'll take the other guy's stuff over Peralta's stuff. But like, if Willie Peralta's that last guy, like, I could see that too. Especially if you need another guy who can like eat up some innings, because he can do that too.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I kind of feel like they might lean that route right now also. I mean, he's had a decent spring, but again, it's spring. It's what, six innings, something like that he had. It's not like it's large sample size and you're feeling real confident in it. But I guess where I'm at is I feel like they might bring him up here now because it's a very temporary thing. Still have like Hunter Stratton in the organization and such. And like when they want to purge him, they can purge him later, right? Use his innings now and then bring them up at like a later time, if that makes sense. Yeah. So again, like, that's kind of just where I'm at. I feel like they might go that route and do Peralta outside of like Stratton and Ryan right now. But outside of that, I think we agree on pretty much everything else.
Yeah, I think that's yeah, that seems about right.
So there's your 26 man that's going to be in Miami, give or take a bullpen arm.
Yeah, I think it's just that last bullpen spot. I think Honeywell's on the team.
Yes, I do too. And I think so they like him.
Yeah, so I think it's like that. It's that eighth bullpen spot. Yeah.
What I'll say is kind of unique, because we haven't really seen this for the past few years. A lot of lefties in that bullpen now too.
Yeah, there's gonna be four.
Yeah,
four lefties.
Remember when there was one?
Yeah, which is a little surprising. But I guess if you have the thing about having the lefties in there that I like is that your fourth and fifth starters, right? Those, you know, let's say it's a mixture of Ortiz, Priester, and Jones, right? It's two of those three. There's going to be length concerns with all of those guys. So if you need like a piggybacking situation, the lefties just kind of complement them well, because, you know, they're going to be facing a lineup mostly of left-handed hitters. You know, you're going to put in your versus right-handed pitching starting lineup if you're an opponent. So I kind of like the way that it just lines up that way, where you go with, you know, you go with Falter or Fleming, one of those two, as like your first guy out of the bullpen if you need to pull Ortiz, Jones, Priester, whoever those guys end up being. If you need to pull them after like four innings, right?
Right.
You can go to a lefty who has a completely different look, completely different arsenal, and they're going to be put in a better situation to succeed as opposed to if you just use them in like a traditional reliever role.
And that's what I want to point out here as well. Both of those lefties that you mentioned too have been in those type of non-traditional roles, right? Whether like an opener, like this piggyback, like they've been used in those creative roles. And we've talked about how the Pirates might need to get creative this year. So also something to keep note, like there's a lot of lefties, but those two have been used differently. So it's like, I do wonder if that's also in the Pirates' plans. Because we know that they like Bailey Falter. So maybe again, like this is something where like Falter's in the bullpen per se. You already have, you know, Josh Fleming in the bullpen. Maybe they're going to get kind of creative with those two. So something to keep note, watch out for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up the show, huh?
I think so. We got games in 3 days.
I'm excited.
which means we've got, what do we got this week? We got New Bucking Around going to air tomorrow.
Yes.
Because it's like it's an off day. We got nothing going on. So Bucking Around coming out tomorrow. So check that out. Wednesday.
For MVP members and All-Star members, you get to watch it today.
All-Star MVP, you get early access. Wednesday, NS9 Live, where the three of us, you, me, Tyler, we'll do our over-under under predictions. So that's always a fun show. It's always one of my favorite shows, just because I get to demonstrate just how much smarter I am than both of you.
You know, ball.
I think I've won each of the last 2 years. I think I've won.
So I don't know if you I know one was stupid because the guy gets injured and Jim wins.
So I'm just saying. So that's always a fun episode. And then Thursday, we got a baseball game at 4:10 against the Miami Marlins. And then we'll have a post game show for you. Our first post game show powered by Primanti's of the regular season. If the Pirates win, we're going to be giving out sandwiches. So
that's right.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's right. So definitely join the post game shows, especially if the Pirates win, because we're giving out two free Primanti sandwiches each time they do. So, So, I guess with that being said, Jim, this is it for Starbucks of the off season. We'll see you again next week during the regular season. New segment also. And
new segment next week. I'm excited
about it. New segment. Yeah. And then we'll see you again in a couple days for NSN Live. So with that said, we're out of here. Have a rest of your wonderful Monday. Let it be good. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.